You're listening to the Student Paramedic Podcast, a podcast made by students for students. We hope you enjoy. Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. My name's Alex, and today I'm having a sit-down chat with Corey and Imogen about all things placement. So we're going to have a chat about expectations versus reality, first day, challenges, the gear we need to take on placement, and all of that. So, hey, Corey.
How are you going?
Good. And how are you, Imogen?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. The first question to kick off today is, what was your first day like?
Yeah, for me, it went relatively smoothly, which I was lucky for. Obviously, it was a bit stressful trying to find my way around station, and I probably wish I went there a day before just to suss out what the parking situation was and where the door was. But once I got past that, I was greeted by some really amazing and friendly mentors, and the OIC of the station as well was lovely, and was more than happy to run me through everything I needed to know, whether that be which door to use, where to park, and then show me around the van and everything else before I headed out for my first job.
That sounds like my experience in a nutshell as well, other than standing at the wrong door for about 20 minutes trying to figure out how to get in and pressing the wrong doorbell. Someone came to my rescue, got me into station, and then I met the OIC, my mentors, and yeah, they were really friendly and helped me find my way around the station, the truck, where everything lived, and all the things I needed to get through my 6 weeks of placement. So yeah, what was yours like, Imogen?
Initially pretty chaotic, purely because I couldn't get inside. But after that, it was pretty smooth sailing from there. My mentors were lovely and were very welcoming. I didn't feel too out of place, which was really nice, given that I was so nervous and the butterflies were swirling. But we got our first job pretty soon up after doing the truck check and getting a bit of a orientation around the station. So there wasn't too much time to sit alone with my own thoughts and overthink everything. So no, it was good.
That's really good. And I guess then what was your expectations of placement? And then was it reality or was it completely different?
I guess my expectations, I think we've spoken a little bit about this before in other episodes as well. And I think that my expectation was basically what I've seen on TV, chaotic lights and sirens 24/7, they never turn off. But when I got there, I found a group of people who were working together with the same goal and everyone got along really well and it was an awesome environment.
What was yours like, Emma?
I feel like Emma's got this.
My expectation going in was that I was going to be going to a lot of hectic jobs and I'd be using lots of skills all the time, and that's what I'd mostly prepared for. Like, I'd learnt all my drugs and the administrations and the doses and everything. But what I hadn't really prepared for and what I didn't really have a chance to prep for prior to placement was talking to people and building a rapport and really understanding what different symptoms look like for different people and how different people tolerate pain. There was a broad spectrum of learnings that I even had in that first week that I just wasn't expecting to see as a first year, and that just followed throughout the placement. So it was great to get a taste of everything really soon. So I felt like there wasn't a big change in like the jobs that I went to from start to finish, because it is so varied early on.
So similar to you guys, my expectation was the lights and sirens, going to your cardiac arrest, your major trauma, all of that. But what I found was reality was a lot of patient communication, a lot of assessment, and just being able to really make patients feel comfortable and know what you were doing, basically. So I wasn't prepared, I guess, for the diverse sort of patient presentations that we would have.
A really incredible piece of advice that my mentor gave me a couple of days in was to start practicing playing 20 questions with different scenarios. Because sometimes I'd go to a job, I'd ask a patient a couple of things and I wouldn't know where to take my questioning because I didn't know what was happening with the patient. So you get different cues when you're asking your questions, like what medications do you take or what does the pain feel like or what was happening before whatever happened today. And so we said, if you can get 20 questions out and you can get a really good understanding of what's happening with that patient, they're going to feel really comfortable and you're going to feel really comfortable with whatever treatment you're giving them because you've got a really good understanding about what's going on.
Yeah, I think similar to you guys, I had very similar expectations and very similar experiences when it came to lights and sirens versus obviously the main part of the role, which is just communicating with patients. But something that I didn't expect was the amount of downtime that we would have. And I think that that's a key piece of advice I would give you guys is, what would you do if you had 4 hours at station or 2 hours at station? Do you have books? Do you have things that you can do to better yourself? Or are you just going to sit down on your phone on the recliner?
That's a really good point, Corey, because I was lucky. I went to a station where we're pretty much busy majority of the time. So there's little downtime. But in that little downtime, I'd still make sure that you're showing initiative and you're still learning during that time and you're not just sitting on the couch, like you said, Corey, just on your phone. So I utilize my time by researching, going to the training simulation room that they have in the station and learning skills again and practicing all of that. And asking my mentors as well to go in that training room and also teach me and hopefully break down some of the cases we went to and some of the skills that we did and why we did it. So that was how I did it as well. I mainly took a little notebook, and after all the cases that I went to, as a first year, we hadn't really learnt a lot about different conditions. So, for example, a lot about seizures. So going to my first seizure case, after that I, you know, would go back to station in our downtime and research about seizures, the management, all the little bits and pieces about seizures, so that next time I'd have an understanding of what was going on and hopefully could contribute in some way.
Yeah, awesome. I think also on that, one thing that I found that was useful during my downtime was to take initiative and do things around the station, whether that be restocking. It can be so easy after a job to just head back to the recliner and sit down and open your textbook, but taking the initiative to go back and go, okay, for this next job, we're going to need more ECG dots or we're going to need something else, and preparing yourself for the future job so that you're not caught behind when you're leaving for a code one going, oop, I don't have this, or oop, I don't have this.
What sort of gear did you guys pack on your first day? Because I was completely oblivious to the fact that sometimes you don't go back to station once you've left in the morning. And if you leave your food at station, you're a hungry person for the rest of the shift.
Definitely take snacks.
Take so many snacks.
That's a good question though, because a lot of people either take too much or take too little or just have no idea what to take. And personally, I took, a big duffel bag. It had in it my university safety kit that we had to have. And then I had a sort of a large lunchbox. I'd chuck in enough food that would last 12 hours or possibly more, depending on if the shift ran overtime or something like that. So that's what I did mainly, as well as having enough water, things like that. People kind of forget about that. Like you said, Imogen, you leave it at station and you don't come back sometimes. So that was important. In terms of actual gear, I took a stethoscope and purely started using it quite a lot when one of my mentors told me that even though you might not have a respiratory patient, it's really important just to listen to as many chests as you can to get the understanding of what a normal lung sound sounds like. And that way you can deem what's abnormal when you do hear it. So that was a really good piece of advice, as well as doing like your manual blood pressures and your manual heart rates, and practicing all of those on as many patients as you can get was one of the really great pieces of advice that my mentors gave me. One of my other ones was a clinical reference guide. So I had little clinical reference cards, which had things about GCS, vital signs, ECGs, all of that on my belt. Now I've got one that fits into my pocket from my MedEquipped, and it's got everything that I need in it. And it's just a great little resource to have just in case you do forget something or you do want to read up on something while you're ramped or anything like that. So that's what I usually take.
I would also add to that and just say, potentially think about leaving a spare uniform in your car, because we had a couple of times where I just got so many bodily fluids all over my person and I thought, I'm not going to wear that for the rest of the day. So having that back at station was super handy.
That's a good idea.
Also, just on that, I think taking a textbook or taking Something that you can do in your downtime is essential and is key. And a good place to look for those is on Gumtree. Actually, I just got a little book for around $10 to $15, which has all sorts of conditions in it. And obviously, you're not using it to diagnose your patients. But if you're looking at a patient history and you see something that you're not familiar with, you can look that up, because being on your phone in front of a patient isn't a good look. You can also get similar things for medications when you're looking for patients who are unconscious or unresponsive, being able to look at their medications and go, oh, what's this? I'll just pull out my book and have a look, or ask a mentor. I think that that's key as well. So,
as well as physical stuff, I'd also say take with you a willingness to take every opportunity that you're presented with. I'd say try and have initiative to obviously never go outside of your scope, but to do things without being asked, and to go out of your way to make sure that you're getting the most out of your experience. Also trying to stay positive and confident around your patients, because if they're really stressed and they can see that you're quite nervous and aren't really feeling up to the task, that's going to make them feel a little bit anxious as well. So trying to comfort them by being as confident as you can, I think really helps as well.
Yeah, I love that. I think what goes into that as well is not necessarily something that you bring on placement, but that's something that you should have prepared, is a good support system, whether that be a group of friends that you can talk to when the going gets tough, because placement's a long time. For some students, it can be up to 6 weeks, and you could have family issues. You could have a job on placement that might shake you up, and it's important to be prepared for when that happens, you know, similar to like when a storm comes, and or, you know, you're watching the news and a storm's coming, you prepare your house for that. It's the same with preparing for placement. You're wanting to prepare your mental health and your mental stability to be able to combat when adversity might come your way. And I think something that would really help is going to see a psychologist or going to see a counselor prior to placement. You don't necessarily have to have a mental illness to go and see a counsellor or a psychologist, but it's a great opportunity to get some preparation in store for those times of adversity, and get some coping strategies for when those things do arise, because when they do, you can either be prepared or not so prepared. And I think that erring on the side of preparation is the way to go.
I think that's definitely a really good piece of advice. And I think from the people that I've spoken to, those that were more equipped with strategies to take into placement and the big jobs came out of it a lot smoother than some of the other people.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Corey. And I think, you know, being able to build up a toolbox of strategies that you can use whilst you're on placement is really a good idea, and it's invaluable. What were some of the challenges that you guys faced on placement?
I'd done a little bit of shift work with the work that I do, but organising a sleep pattern when you're doing placement and also working is one of the trickiest things. And I think I was not prioritising sleep enough. I'm still not very good at that, but you really have to take care of yourself, because if you're not well rested, or you're not mentally prepared for the day, you're not going to be able to give the best care to your patients. And you're not going to be as mentally sharp, so you're not going to feel as confident going into jobs. So I think definitely taking care of your sleep is a big one.
I think very similar to Imogen, I wasn't prepared for the amount of work we were doing, and I wasn't prepared for the shift work as well. And I had this idea that I would be exercising well, I would be eating well, I would be studying, I would be smashing out all these goals, and that just wasn't the case when it came to the amount of work we were doing. And I had to make sacrifices here and there, and I guess I should have prioritized better eating well and exercising well, because I probably would have been in a better space after that placement. How about you guys?
Totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I think also, did you guys ever have any assessments during placements?
Yes.
I think that can be stressful as well. I think that putting in a time plan of when you can get things done, so that you're not stressing the week before an assignment's due and you've got like night shifts.
One of the challenges I guess I faced was similar to you guys in terms of, you know, having to manage and time manage everything. And it's the expectation that when you go home, you'll study heaps. But, you know, after going on a 12-hour shift, all you want to go home and do is eat some food and go to bed. So, I mean, just adapting to the shift work is also something if you're not used to it. And so I guess that's a bit of a challenge in trying to maintain your physical health, doing like your meal preps and you're going to the gym or catching up with friends and doing all those different types of things, it's good, I guess, as a first year to see how to try and adapt and do that for when you are actually in the job.
Looking back at your placements so far, what's something that you think that you could improve on and work on for the next however many we have, 77 placements coming up?
Oh. 77 something.
Okay.
That's a lot of placements.
Reflecting on your past placements, what's something that you think that you could improve on or do better for your next ones?
One of them is actively seeking and also accepting feedback. So even though like your mentor might be like, oh, you did a good job, be like, what particular parts were good, or, you know, where should I work on, or being like to your mentor, hey, I need to work on this, can you help me? Just that type of stuff.
I think all the best learning that I did was when I was out of my comfort zone. So when I was doing skills on a really ill patient or doing an assessment on someone that was a little bit difficult to communicate with, I think that that's when I was able to broaden my skills and learn how to better work with a really wide range of people, because there's such a diversity in the people that you see and the illnesses and injuries that you're faced with. So I think jumping out into the deep end sometimes can be a great thing, because that's when you can do some really great learning.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, I think very similar to you guys. For me personally, it would be time management. You know, being able to meal prep or finish my assessments or have a plan of when I need to finish my assessments on placement so that I'm not stressing during those placements. And I think another simple one that I think I want to bring into my next placement is being able to check on your mates who are also on placement during it, because everyone gets hectic during that stage and it's easy to forget about your friends at uni. But I think being that person that just sends a message and goes, hey, how you going? Like, how are you? We should catch up for coffee if we have a shift off or something like that, just so that you're looking out for your friends and they know that they're appreciated.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. If you want to connect with us, we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, and you can email us at thestudentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and we'll catch you in the next one.